Take your Bible, Colossians chapter 4, if you would. Colossians chapter 4, we're going to preach tonight out of Colossians, and Lord willing, next Wednesday night, finish preaching through the book of Colossians. But just going to look at two verses tonight. Hope you do have your Bible. And by the way, I mentioned new Sword of the Lord's out there. Definitely pick one up, and they'll be a blessing to you. Good sermon there by Dr. Curtis Hudson. Brother Hudson was a great preacher. I loved to hear him preach, and he's one of the best at preaching on salvation I think I ever heard. And there's a salvation message there, and you say, well, preacher, we're saved. We don't need that message. Well, maybe you got a friend, and you can take that and take that paper to him and say, hey, I want you to read this, and it'd be good, all right? Colossians chapter 4. We looked last week at verses up through verse 4 and talked about Paul was talking to the folks at Colossae about praying. Praying's a marvelous thing. And then we get to verse 5. The Bible said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And I don't know about you, but I am real glad that we have a practical Bible. It's not just a book of theological truth, you know. Now, there's nothing wrong with theological truth, all right, at all. And the Bible does contain great spiritual truth. It gives us theological knowledge. Obviously, we can't find it anywhere else. Nowhere else you can find what you can find in this book. But at the same time, it's such a practical book. And it helps us out. It tells us what to do and how to do it. And that's a good thing. It's those practical things that we like. People always gripe. You know, I've taught math for years and I've taught in school for years. And people gripe about, well, I don't think we need to have algebra. We never use it. You know, it's just not practical. And all that kind of belly aching that goes on about it. We don't have to do that about the Bible because what's in the Bible is very practical. It applies to your life and mine. And the truth of the matter is, I believe it's the practical directions and instructive words that we get that really stir the hearts of people. It really does. The other ones don't necessarily do it. If you preach on the sovereignty of God, it can stir the heart, but oftentimes it doesn't stir the heart because I believe it's the simple, it's not the complex, but it's the simple things that really challenge us, all right? It's the simple directions, the simple instructions that cause folks to bow their backs, stiffen their necks, clench their jaws, and redden their faces. It's the practical things. When preachers preach it, that's what happens. Hey, I'm talking about Christian people. It's preaching on the practical things that has aggravated a lot of people over the years. It's preaching on practical things, like giving, for instance. People get mad about, and they'll get mad and they'll turn red and everything else. All right, but we've got two verses tonight. These two verses provide enough challenge for you and me to keep us working and striving to obey our Lord until He comes. Just these two verses, all right? Because it gives us two areas of life: our walk and our talk. And those are two areas we always have to work on. We get in trouble because of our walk and our talk. As Christians, that it is, all right? So I want you to look with me. First of all, I want you to look at just two-point message tonight, all right? Number one, walking among the wicked. Walking among the wicked. That's what verse 5 says, walk, all right? Talking about walking. And walking, this verse refers to your, what is often referred to as general deportment. But today when you say that, people say, what is that? Well, it's your general conduct, all right? Your general conduct. The general conduct of the individual, that's what your walk is, huh? It's your normal actions, your normal day, okay? Your normal day. It's a regular day, just a regular run-of-the-mill day. Not on that day when you dress it up, straighten it up because you know somebody's going to be watching. Or because you're expecting somebody to come, boy, we straighten up when it's going to be like that, you know. Well, if God's people knew the Lord was coming back next Sunday, the building and ever built, it'd be full. It'd be full. People be there, they'd be dressed, they'd have the pious look on, they'd have their Bible in their lap, somebody even bring the family Bible because they figured it'd be more impressive, all right? And they'd be there, all right? Why? Because, hey, he's coming. Well, wait a minute. We're talking about this practical side, okay? The practical side. It's every day. Every day. And the Bible's talking about when it says, walk in wisdom toward them without. And I want you to notice that part. Toward them that are without. See, God's given us instruction about how to walk, believers, how we're to walk and how to conduct ourselves, how we're to live out yonder in the world, okay? Them that are without. Them that are without. Hey, it's important. It's important we know how to live as believers, take care of ourselves. How we live out yonder in the world is important. It's so important. You know, sometimes people come to church and act super pious because they know we're among other believers. But when we get out there, different story. Different story. I mean, old Brother Charles, he comes to church, man, he's sharp, but out there driving that truck, well, I hope he's the same, all right? I hope he's the same. You're with me, though, all right? You're with me? I mean, it's how we walk among them that are without. It's out there in the world. That's where the challenge is, okay? Because it's out there where people aggravate you. It's out there where people cut you off on the freeway. It's out there where they shake their fist at you and they may not even make a complete fist, all right? You know? It's out there in the world. So how are we going to walk out there? You see, that is the challenge for us, how we're doing it out there, not how we do it here. I don't know who, I heard a preacher years ago talk about a couple coming to church and they're fighting and fussing all the way to the church, all the way to church. Get out, shut the door, put a smile on their face, come and say, hello, preacher, how you doing? Boy, we're having a good day, aren't we? And get back in the car and fuss all the way home, all right? Well, hey, it's how we walk out there. We walk out there. Now, we're usually careful in church. We're usually careful among God's people. Because we don't, you know, slip up and make somebody think ill of us. And by the way, you ought to be careful. But if we're going to be careful here, we dead sure ought to be careful there. All right? We need to be careful. Because it's out in the world. It's out among the wicked. The Bible says we're to walk in wisdom. Wisdom. Hey, we're to behave ourselves. We're to behave ourselves in a way that makes good sense. And just displays good sense. I believe with all my heart the world's already seen too many Christians who've acted the fool. When that happens, it gets plastered on the paper. It gets put on the nightly news. That's when you hear about them, okay? If God's people are living right, walking right, serving the Lord, doing what they should, it doesn't make the news. It doesn't even make, there's channel, I think Channel 5, they have a deal that says, tell me something good. I've never seen anything, something good about a church that's doing something for God. I never seen it on there because that doesn't make the news. But if a Christian would get out in the world and act like the devil and act, you know, ungodly, oh, that's news. That's news. Now, the Bible tells us we're to walk in wisdom. We're to walk in wisdom. And there's so many applications we could come at it from. One thing I would strongly urge you to think, okay? Amen. Just think. Think before you act. at school. I never cease to be amazed at the dumb things kids will do. They don't think. There's no thought put before it. I've often said, what were you thinking? And then as soon as it comes out of my mouth, I go, well, that was a wasted question. They weren't thinking, okay? But that shouldn't be the story of you and I when we're out in the world. Look, my friend, it's important how we're walking out in the world because if there's one thing, we ought to show the world that there is absolutely nothing as good as the Christian life. Nothing as good as a Christian life. I don't get out in the world. I don't go and stand in front of Billy Bob's and stand there as people going and coming. I said, wish I could go with you. They won't let me, though. I'm pastor of a church. If I went in there and had a good time drinking, they'd fire me. I'd lose my job. Well, I don't stand out in front of Billy Bob's doing that. You say, well, why not? Because don't feel that way. Don't feel that way whatsoever. I've thought about it. Listen, today, something on the news is talking about your living, and I thought, some of those people would live longer if they'd live different. They'd live longer if they'd just live a little different, all right? Exercise a little bit of intelligence, a little bit of wisdom. Well, that's what God's saying to you and me. He said, hey, we're to walk in wisdom, all right? We're to walk in wisdom among them that are without, okay? Now, wisdom in what we do, wisdom in what not to do, but also wisdom in the way we do it. Sometimes people do the right thing, but they do it in the wrong way. Causes problems. We can say the same thing. We're going to talk about talking here in a minute or two. You can say the right thing, but if you say it in the wrong way, man, you rub people wrong. Hey, it's important that we walk in wisdom, all right? The way we do things. The good thing about it, according to James chapter 1 and verse 5, wisdom is available. What a blessing. You say, well, I don't think I have it. What do I need to do? Simple. Memorize the book of Proverbs. Now, you don't have to do that. Would it help you? Well, sure it would. Sure it would. But that's not what the Bible says to do. The Bible is not, we've quoted this verse. You've heard it talked about. In James 1, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, it doesn't say let him memorize Proverbs and Psalms and Ecclesiastes. No, it says let him ask of God. Let him ask of God. You say, I don't know what to do. I don't feel like I have any wisdom. Well, when have you been, how long, how much have you been asking God to give it to you? Just ask him for it. And the Bible says, if you'll ask, it's him who giveth to all men liberally. What a blessing. It is a promise of God. We're lacking in wisdom. Man, one of the smartest things we can do is every day before you get out in the world, we pray, Lord, help me have wisdom today as I conduct myself here in the world. Lord, pray for it. Pray for it. God, help me to have it. And help me to exercise that, all right? Nothing wrong with that. We should be doing it. The Bible tells us when we're in the world, walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Hey, notice what the rest of that verse says. You look in there at verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Notice, redeeming the time. Walking in wisdom means you will redeem the time. To redeem it is to save it from ruin and waste. Why is so important? That means to use your time for those things that are important. Use your time. Don't be lazy. Don't be irresponsible in the use of your time. Don't do it. Look, and we've talked about it. I mentioned it in other times, teaching Sunday school, preaching. The easiest thing in the world is waste time. Easiest thing in the world is waste time. And are y'all like me? Are you ever amazed when you're wasting time? When you look, you go, oh, my soul, look how much time's passed. It doesn't feel that way when you're doing something, especially when you're doing something you're not really thrilled with doing, You don't look at it and go, boy, that time went by fast. Oh, it's about like a kid at school. The clock, is the hands on the clock moving? Check the battery, shake it. I don't think that thing's working anymore. Hey, but man, when you start sitting down and you begin to waste time, it's amazing how much time you'll waste just without thinking about it. Without thinking about it. Boy, it's gone. Hey, we're to redeem it, all right? Time here on this earth, time here in this world is going to be short. It's going to be short. And the older you get, the more you realize that. The older you get, the more you realize. I mean, when I was 20 years old, I never thought about it. When I was 25, never thought about it. And I didn't think anything about that. His life was just roaring along, never thought. But boy, I'm standing here now knowing I'm looking back at more time than I've got to look ahead to. And I'm going, man, that seemed like it went by awful fast. Just went by. You know, when I think of the 1980s, I go, yeah, 1980s, that wasn't long ago. But then, that's 40 years ago, man, add all that up, and I think, yeah, it's been a long time. Realized standing in school, every kid in school was born since Y2K. Every kid in their school was born since then. I'm sitting there thinking, some of their parents are not that old.
Amen, brother.
Hey, but time's short. Time you spend here is short. So what does God say to us? God says, hey, listen, when you're walking out there, you walk in wisdom toward them that are without. You don't have time to waste. You don't have time to waste. When you're out in the world, you don't have time in dealing with the lost to aggravate them and then give them time to get over it. You don't. We're to redeem the time. We're to redeem that time, all right? The time that we have to serve God is short. Make the most of it. Make the most of it. We let years just go by, all right? You say, well, I've wasted years. Okay, so sit down now and waste some more thinking about how many you've wasted. Well, no, don't do that. Decide I'm going to take his time here, and whatever I've got left, I'm going to use it. It's going to be walking in wisdom. Walking in wisdom. Just a very practical thing. Paul's teaching and speaking to these folks in Colossae, same thing we need. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, all right? Redeeming the time. And then it says in verse 6, let your speech. Hey, we're talking about talking to the troubled. Talking to the troubled. I'll be honest, I believe what he's really talking here for the most part is our talk to folks that are also lost. Now, I think everything that's in verse 6 applies to our conversation with everybody, but especially to those that are lost. The Bible says, let your speech be always with grace. Why? It's not just our walk. It's not just our mannerisms. It's not just our habits. It's not just our conduct that matters. What comes out of our mouth is also very, very important. Notice what it says. Speech be always with grace. Grace. You know, you say, what in the world does that mean? Well, one thing I think deals with kindness. Kindness. It has to do with giving people the benefit of the doubt sometimes. Let your speech be always with grace. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't mean we can't take a stand.
Amen.
That doesn't mean you can't be firm.
Amen.
Doesn't mean you gotta, kind of be wishy-washy. You know, we can and we ought to state the truth.
Right.
But hey, it can be with grace. It does mean we're not to be arrogant.
Right.
We're not to be spiteful. We're not to be overbearing in the way we speak. People talk about talking down to people. Those kind of things, we don't have that kind of stuff, all right? Can I say this to you? Every sentence doesn't need to be an accusation. It just doesn't need to be that. I spoke up in, I think I've spoke here too on the same deal. Listen, when you're talking to your kids and you're telling your kids you love them, when you say, I love you, it shouldn't always be followed with the word but.
That's right.
Y'all understand what I'm talking about? Man, how many times you heard somebody say, I love you, but, and you're thinking it before they say it because you've heard it so many times, all right? Or, you're a good fella, but. Yeah. Every statement shouldn't be followed by that. It is okay to say things without coming on top of somebody, I think of that old song. I really didn't like it, still don't like it. But that song in some stupid musical that a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, all right? Well, you know what? That's true. I'll never forget my dad talking about the medicine that they took when he was a kid and how they took it. It wasn't medicine. It's surprising they didn't all die from poisoning, okay? But he said, man, they'd take a spoonful of sugar and they'd drop a drop of, I want to say kerosene, or that was it, kerosene in it. Coal oil, that's it, coal oil. They'd take a spoonful of sugar, put a drop of coal oil in it, and say, this will help you. Yeah. You say, cure cough. Yeah, if you have to take that, you never want to cough again, all right? Because you don't want to have to take another spoonful of that junk, all right? Hey, sugar may help, but it can't kill that, all right? Just can't do it. But I'll say this to you. In our speech, it ought to be with grace. It ought to be with grace. You know, I'll tell you this. People can take correction much better when it's administered with grace. With grace. That's why the Bible stands. Look, let your speech be always with grace. Notice what it says, seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt. Now, you can think of that a couple of ways, all right? I've heard of people talking about pouring salt in your wounds. I don't think that's what it's talking about here, okay? Because I don't think let your speech be with grace and be seasoned with salt. Those two, you know, if it's pouring salt in the wounds, that's not together, all right? So we're talking about it, seasoned with salt. Seasoning always helps things taste better. Right? Taste better. You get it seasoned up good, it's amazing how some things taste. I've heard people talk about, man, I wouldn't eat that stuff, you know. And I often wonder, he's not here, we'll talk about him, all right? My son-in-law, yeah, I don't think he had ever eaten black-eyed peas till he married my daughter. And we brought my daughter up right, okay? And you eat black-eyed peas on New Year's Day, okay? It's just, you just have to do it. We're down south, you do that, all right? And so she fixed them. And I was talking to her on the phone, I mean, it's just been the last couple of weeks. And she said, yeah, she said, I fixed black-eyed peas and everything. And Ben said to her, now, you got to understand what a move this is on his behalf, okay? He said, how come we only have these once a year? Now, that means he likes them. Now, I think a lot of times the reason people don't like stuff, it's not seasoned good. It's not seasoned good. There's a lot of things I wouldn't care to eat, but man, if you can put enough lard in it, whoa, it'll just make it taste good, all right? If you can get that bacon fat in there, that bacon grease in there, it seasons that thing. We can eat it, all right? And it tastes good, goes down real well. Well, hey, wait a minute, you hear me. I believe that's what Paul's talking about when he says your speech needs to be seasoned with salt. Why? Because it helps it to go down a little better. Helps people take it a little better, all right? You've heard, maybe you've made the statement, boy, that left a bad taste in my mouth. No, you drink something or you eat something, and while you're eating and drinking, okay, but man, it's the aftertaste. Leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Now, what do you remember? You don't remember the good, you remember the bad taste. I think that's one thing what Paul's saying to us here when we're talking to the troubled out there. We're talking to the lost crowd. Our speech ought to be seasoned with salt. It ought to be such that it doesn't leave a bad taste in people's mouth, or better yet, a bad thought in their mind about us because of what we were telling them. Why? Because our speech was such that it was done for good and they understood it was for their good, all right? I'm just saying you need to think before you speak. I don't mean tone down the truth or trim the truth, but I do mean tune up the tone, okay? It's the tone of the way you say it. You with me? The tone of the way you say it. It's amazing. I have told people stuff with a smile on my face that if they had really thought about what I said, they'd have got mad. But it's amazing what you can say to people. I was at a funeral. This kid was acting up. That was before the funeral started. This kid was acting up, and I said, "Ma'am, you know, if you just slap that kid real good, it'd probably help him, you know." I was looking just like that, you know. You know, she didn't get mad. She didn't slap him, and I wish she would have. But anyway, she didn't get upset about it. Why? Because you've heard that in the South, if, as long as you say bless your heart after you say it, you can say anything, all right? Now, that's not true, but to a certain extent, it gives you the connotation of what we're talking about. Hey, the way we say things and what we say, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Hey, salt's used to purify. It's used to preserve. But so many times, our speech is used to destroy. But it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that way. It ought to be such that it helps to preserve the truth, not make people mad at the truth. Not make people mad at the truth. I'm ever conscious of the way when I'm preaching that I don't want to come off as sounding, you know, just rabid about something or, you know. I heard a guy make a statement one time. He heard people preach on hell like they were glad people were going. Now, I've never heard anybody do that, but yet I've heard people be awful harsh when you don't need to be harsh. And hey, there's a difference between being hard, preaching hard, and preaching harsh. Two different things. And we just watch the way we say things, all right? Our speech ought to support the truth. It ought to back it up. Hey, you can be kind without compromising. You can be kind without compromising. That ought to be our speech. Our speech ought to come across that way. We're to be able to talk to folks, but we're to be careful in the way we talk to them. We're to exercise that wisdom in our walk, and wisdom's pretty good when you're speaking too, all right? That's to be with grace, seasoned with salt, all right? Yeah, telling the truth, but you don't have to whoop it on them, you know. You know, I mentioned to you years ago, I heard Gary Coleman give this illustration. He said there was a fellow he had witnessed to, and maybe a banker, and he said I'd witnessed to and tried to get him to come to church, and he came to church one Sunday, and he said, "Man, I was so glad he was there, and I preached all I could preach." And then he said during the invitation, there was a guy that was there in the church, and he said, "It's one of them guys that everything doesn't click upstairs just right. You know, every church has got them." He was, "Who is it here? Could be you." I don't know. All right. But, I mean, you know, it seemed like there's always that person. Mrs. Greer, I love Mrs. Greer. Mrs. Greer came to our church for years and years and years. She's in heaven now. But, man, she sometimes things she could say. It was amazing. I was playing the piano one night before church. I got up, walked by the piano. She said, "Missed a few notes there, didn't you?" "Oh, and you're a music critic too, all right?" And he said, "What did you say?" "Nothing." "Nothing, wasn't any reason to, all right?" Now, that was just her, okay? That was just her. Brother Coleman said, "I was preaching, I looked up and said that. That banker, he was there, and I saw this guy heading for him, and I'm going, 'Oh, no, Lord, don't let him. Ain't no telling what he'll tell him.'" And he went over there to him, he spoke to him, and he saw the banker shake his head, and he thought, "Oh, great." And then the guy went back to his seat. And it wasn't long. Here come the banker down the aisle. Got saved. Brother Coleman said, "I thought, I've got to ask." He said, I asked him, I said, "And what was it caused you to come this morning, you know?" He said, "I was kind of hoping," he said, "well, preach, it's that great sermon you preached." But he said, "You know that guy you saw walk, did you see that guy walk over to me in the invitation?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "It's what he said to me." He said, "What did he say?" He said, "Hey, you want to go to heaven? guy shook his head no. That's when he shook his head no, and Brother Coleman saw him do that. And then that other fellow said, well, go ahead and go to hell then. Now, I just want to tell you the truth. That's not the way to do it, okay? That is not the way to do it. But God used it that day. God used it that day. But that's not the way we ought to do it, okay? Our speech ought to be always with grace. It ought to be seasoned with salt. Notice why. That ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now, are you like me? I've read that verse for many times. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. I've always read that, and that to me, I was thinking and thought, okay, I've got to know the answer for everybody's question. I don't believe that's what that verse is talking about. I believe that verse is talking about how you ought to answer every man. Why? Because you don't answer every man the same. Why? Because people are different. People are different. You look at them, they're not the same. You talk to them, they have different likes, different dislikes. Some people, it's easy to rub them the wrong way. You got to be careful. You say, well, they shouldn't be so touchy. Maybe not, but they are, so just get along with it, okay? So you ought to know how you ought to answer every man. We don't answer every man the same. We need that wisdom. We need to be sure that our speech is always with grace. It's seasoned with salt. Different people have to be dealt with in different ways. Different ways. And that's true in age. Okay? In age, you got younger kiddos, you got to learn how to talk to them. You can talk a child into doing anything, nearly, if you're good. You can talk a child into doing nearly anything. Hey, you can talk them into praying to get saved, and they're not going to get saved because you just talked them into it. God had nothing to do with it. God had nothing to do with it. Now, you need to be careful. Well, wait a minute. People are that way, too. There are some people that will do anything you want them to do just to get you off their porch or out of their house. If I don't say what he wants me to say, we're going to be here all night. I'm going to have to be rude and slam the door. Now, I want to be rude. And there's still a lot of people today that don't want to be rude. Still a lot of people. I visited one night. These folks that had come into church, and I'd visit. First time I went to see them, man, they made me very welcome. We had a very good conversation. I thought, all right, praise the Lord, man. These are folks, wonderful prospects for the church, been out of the will of God for a while, and helped to get them back, but they didn't come. So I went back. And the several times I went back, my reception got colder and colder. You say, how many times did you go? 430. No, I didn't go that many. It was really about the third visit. I looked at the man and I said, listen. I said, I don't want to be a wart. I don't want to make a nuisance of myself. And I said, but I am interested in you. I want you to be in church. And you know you need to be in church. I said, I'm not coming back. I won't come back unless you tell me. Go ahead and come back. And it was real plain, he did not want to say, go ahead and come back. It was more, thank God you're not coming back. Fine. Hey, well, why didn't you go back, preacher? That person, yeah, I know they need to be in the house of God. They sure do. But I could ruin it for anybody that would ever go there again. And I don't think we're to do that. I don't think we're to be obnoxious. We need to know how you ought to answer every man. When people ask questions, some people ask questions, and you can tell from the tone of voice, they're looking to get in a fight. I'm not willing to oblige them. Now, I don't mind answering a question if it's an honest question. I don't mind answering that question. But I didn't come to spend 2 hours there arguing about something and arguing with somebody that is not going to see it any. I don't care what you do, you're not going to change them. They're going to do it. And that's what you want to do? Fine. I'm done. I'm not going to stay there. But that's, I think some of that comes in, we need to know how you answer every man. Need to know how to answer every man. They're not the same, okay? But your speech is to be marked with grace and seasoned with salt all the time. Now notice, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. It's those that are without we're talking about. So how's your walking and talking tonight? How is it? Okay. Do you need some wisdom maybe to help you out just a little bit? Well, listen, I want you to know you can ask for what you need and then use what you get, okay? Ask for what you need and then use what you get. Now, if you're not going to use it, don't ask for it. You know, I stand here and I'll tell you, missionaries are here, they're giving out prayer cards. I said, take one if you'll pray, but if you're not going to pray, don't waste their money. Don't take their prayer card. But if you will pray, take it. They need prayer. Hey, we need to realize what we get from God, we need to use it. We pray for wisdom, then use it. Use it. But we need to be conscious. We need to be conscious out in the world. Why, preacher? Why is it so important? Your testimony. But I'll tell you something more important. The testimony of Jesus Christ. Because you represent Him. You represent Him. And it's important what we do and how we conduct ourselves, how we walk, and how we talk. Why? Because I'm a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bear His name as a Christian. I cannot do my own thing. Okay? Because I bear His name. Walk in wisdom. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, You'd help us tonight. Help us think just a little bit about our walking and our talking. Help us, Lord, to consider how we're going to answer every man.